Good morning. I'm going to jump straight into my scripture passage, if that's all right with you. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll begin at verse 19, and I'll go into verse 23. And the word tells us, "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings." It's God's word unto us. God has a real sense of humor sometimes, and I'm listening to Dean talk about your chapel services, and not too long ago I sat where you sat, though I didn't go to this particular institution. I went to a Christian college where there were required chapel services, and very quickly I learned how to do something, which was look for the exits. And so if I was one of you guys here right now, that exit right there would be very attractive to me. And I learned how to sneak in, get my card swiped, kind of sneak in, stand by the exit, and then kind of disappear. Because I had a hard time taking chapel services seriously. Part of that was because of the school that I was going to. See, I went to a Christian college where I was one of very few Latinos or people of color in the whole school. And so when speakers came to talk to the community or professors got up to speak, I really had a hard time finding any relevance in that for me. I actually ended up transferring out of that school and going to a smaller school, also a Christian college from where I graduated. And I remember one particular classroom session that was related to missions, and we were talking about intercultural missions and local missions and everything related to missions. And we had a guest speaker come in, and he asked the class a question. He said, "Does racism still exist in America?" Now, quite frankly, I was shocked that he asked that question, because I didn't see it coming. And I think it took the students aback just a little bit as well. And again, I was the only brown person in the room. And most of my peers had grown up in small towns or had very limited experience going into the inner city and things like that. And so, one by one, they all answered no. They gave various reasons for their answer. They said, you know, the civil rights movement happened, you know, we had our laws changed, you know, we don't have to worry about those things anymore. You know, every now and then you might come across a racist person, but racism in America, it just isn't real anymore. And so this guest speaker, who also happened to be brown and Puerto Rican like myself, slowly walked up to my desk and stood in front of me, because at that time I had not said anything yet. I was just kind of taking it all in. And he just looked down at me, who was pretty tall, and he said, "What do you say?" And just walked away. And my response shocked several of the students, because I confessed to them with much pain in my heart that someone had actually called me a nigger a few days ago, not too far from where this college was, not even half a mile away. It wasn't the first time that had happened, and it certainly wasn't the last time. And so they looked at me, and I think for a quick second, they got a glimpse into my reality. Because something they thought did not exist was part of my everyday experience. And I'm here to talk to you about being a bridge builder. But I think in terms of diversity and multiculturalism and unity in the body and in the church, if we're really going to have this conversation, we need to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. We need to get comfortable with something called tension, which is what I'm kind of feeling in the room right now. The first time I became aware that I was the only brown person in the room was not when I went to the mostly white college. It was when I was 5 years old and I was at church, surrounded by 30 plus Sunday school attenders. And I looked around the room and realized, I'm the one here that's different. I'm the one here that's being treated with special treatment. I was 5 years old when that became a part of my reality. My parents, working with the church plant, were actually within this congregation, were gathered in the gym upstairs. They had church service in the morning and in the afternoon, and so did the white church. But in the mornings, I was with the Sunday school class in the basement, and then in the evenings, I went upstairs to be with the Spanish-speaking congregation, and I had to learn how to navigate these two very different worlds with different languages, with different music, with different preaching styles, with different resources in the Sunday school classroom, because downstairs there were all kind of flannel graphs and puppets and markers and all of these other things, and upstairs all we had was paper and pencil sometimes. Tension. W.E.B. Du Bois wrote about this tension that I experience, an African-American author. And he says, it's a peculiar sensation, this double consciousness, this sense of always looking at oneself through the eyes of others, of measuring one's soul by the tape of a world that looks on in amused contempt and pity. One ever feels his two-ness. An American, a Negro, two souls, two thoughts, two unreconciled strivings, two warring ideals, and one dark body whose dogged strength alone keeps it from being torn asunder. Living in two worlds. And this particular author, before this quote in this passage, he talks about how he has to learn how to navigate between being with his African-American community and being within the white community and not belonging to either one, being stuck somewhere in the middle because he didn't quite fit in with his community anymore, with his level of education and with his interests and with him floating back and forth in the white community. And he certainly didn't feel comfortable in the white community, nor did they feel comfortable with him because of his skin color and his race. And so he was stuck in this tension somewhere in the middle. Stuck in tension. And I think this is a similar tension to what Paul is describing here in 2 Corinthians when he says, I became all things to all people. Becoming all things to all people means that you are a bridge builder. You are a bridge builder, and we are called to be bridge builders. We are called to live in the tension. We are called to live in the discussion that nobody else wants to have, the discussion that makes everyone else uncomfortable, because we are the body of Christ, and we have to be comfortable living in the uncomfortable. We are called to the gospel of discomfort, to be all things to all people. And I want you to know that it's not just people of color that live in this tension. I have a friend who actually lives here in Pittsburgh and is studying for a master's degree. And she was in a class related to community development. And on one of her projects, they were looking at two different communities, a poor African-American community and a rich white community that had this beautiful park. And the project was getting these African-American kids to go from this side of the neighborhood into the park so they can enjoy the park. And the teacher made a suggestion. Let's get the kids all bikes. That way they can ride into this part of the community whenever they want to, and they can play on the swings and go swimming in the pool, and they'll feel comfortable going back and forth because it's a transportation issue. And my friend had to slowly raise her hand and say, no, I'm sorry. It's not a transportation issue, it's a race issue. Because even if you got the kids' bikes, would they feel comfortable riding into that side of town or that side of the city without getting harassed? Do you really think that a bike is what's stopping them from going to that pool and to those swings? An uncomfortable conversation, which actually got her kicked out of class, even though she had facts to back herself up and had multiple conversations with people from that neighborhood that validated what she was saying. Now, I'm not encouraging you to get kicked out of class or skip chapel. Just put that out there. But we have to engage in this uncomfortable conversation, because we talk about living in this diverse community and having one church body, and what does that really look like? And, you know, does that mean you sing a song in a different language and wear a costume once or twice a year? Is that diversity? Or do we need to look at something that's deeper than that? Because you can't have a conversation about diversity without having a conversation about racism, and you can't have that without talking about systemic injustice, and you can't talk about that without talking about sin and the violation of God's world and His shalom. Becoming all things to all people, living in the tension. Now, I'm not fully aware of all the programs that you guys have here, but an engineer could tell you that one of the problems in creating a bridge is that you have to deal with tension. Because when you make a bridge, on both sides, there's a pulling and there's a compression. And if it's not handled correctly, that bridge will snap. Tension is part of being a bridge, but you have to learn how to handle that tension correctly so that it works for you and not against you. So here's the thing, here's the goal. If you're called to be a bridge builder, a lot of times when we think about, you know, being the bridge between cultures and communities, is that we want people to come and be at the middle of the bridge. No. We don't want people to come and be in the middle of the bridge. Because the purpose of a bridge is for people to be able to cross over from one side to the next. The purpose of a bridge is for you to get from one side to the other, and if you need to come back, that you could come through that bridge again. And so we need this bridge to be able to sustain the weight of multiple people crossing over, be it on vehicles, be it on foot, bikes, or whatever it is. And we're called to be that bridge But we have to deal with this tension. We have to deal with the tension of people walking all over us, of people stepping on us, of people not really appreciating what's beneath their feet as they cross over. Because a bridge doesn't raise its hand and say, "Hello, I'm a bridge, thank me for crossing over." A bridge stays steady and does his job or her job. And it's used every day, trampled on, rolled over, walked on. But in order for that tension in that bridge to survive that snapping point, that tension has to be transferred to something else. Coils, springs, whatnot. And I suggest to you that our tension, that if we really want to be a bridge, if we're really called to be bridge builders, our tension must be given over to the cross. Because it's the cross that can hold our tension. It's the cross that can hold us up as we become the bridge between cultures, between worlds, between the body of Christ from one side to the next. And Paul says, "I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some." To do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. I have a brother, a best friend, who was raised in Dominican Republic, now lives in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he was born in Brooklyn, as was I. And when people ask him, "Where are you from? Who are you?" he starts off the conversation by saying, "You know, I'm a very confused individual because I'm from Dominican Republic, but at the same time, I was born here." And he starts to explain this uncomfortable place that he lives in, and as I watch him start his conversations this way, I see him shattering barriers into different cultures, because people who would normally not talk to him or engage him suddenly kind of understand his pain a little bit and want to dialogue with him. "Well, tell me, how was that like? What was that about? How did you get from here to there? Why are you here now?" And when I hear him say, "I'm confused," I don't think he's confused at all. What I hear him saying is, "I'm becoming all things to all people. To the weak, I become weak. To those under the law." And we need to find our way. And I think we have a great example with Jesus on the cross. Become all things to all people. Be the bridge. Be the bridge. Share the gospel with the poor. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. It requires us to be the bridge. I'll simply read that scripture one more time as I close. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. God bless you.